Milwaukee.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Troubled starlet Lindsay Lohan was arrested last week for driving under the influence and cocaine possession. Many observers have said this is a cry for help. That's where I come in.
Alan Coulter.
What's shaking, girl? Here you like to go fast. Well, if you're looking for a pulse-pounding thrill ride, why don't you climb on board Red Poppy's high-octane Coulter's cycle? You may have failed the breathalyzer, but any woman who can blow a .12 can handle what I've got.
Hey, Dave, I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do this. You know, these segments are always good for a chuckle, but damn it, this is no laughing matter. Hey, I called on everyone close to Lindsay to help her through these difficult times, especially her mother, Dina Lohan.
It starts again.
What's cracking, Mommy? Things are getting too crazy for you. I'd be happy to help provide some firm guidance. And in return, maybe you can help guide my firmness.
Hey.
We'll meet over a glass of brandy, and next thing you know, your blood Coulter level will be skyrocketing.
Okay.
Before long, our sweat-glistening bodies will grind rhythmically, forming one heaving bowl of love
salad. All right,
salad.
Alan, that's okay. All right, that's enough. Alan, no, I'm sorry. You, Alan.
Dave?
I think you owe everyone here an apology. Apologize now, honestly, seriously.
You're right, Dave.
Yeah.
I'd like to apologize to everyone in the audience. Especially the lady.
No, forget it. No. Alan Coulter, lady.
All right.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
Hi, I'm Alan Coulter, TV's police chief Axelrod.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble getting it in his mouth.
Oh, no.
I webbed you. That means you got the apartment.
Oh, goody. Why do you favor rape?
I don't. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble getting it in his mouth.
Okay. Hey, Don and Mike, shut up, eh?
Hey.
Bunch of hockey pucks.
Uh-huh.
Don and Mike, go home and get your shine box.
Have you ever been waxed?
Any part of my body, you mean?
Any part. Any part at all.
Gilman?
Homo.
I think Gilman, has Regis ever been waxed?
Yeah, I think we waxed him at some point. Yeah.
Oh, we should do that again.
Why? What's the big deal?
I don't know. I just want to wax you.
I'd like to wax you, too.
I thought he sucked.
No one gets out of here alive. The Don and Mike Show.
I met an onion grower today at the airport when I arrived, and he said, you got to help me find the people that'll pull onions.
That was fantastic.
Agreed.
It looks like baby vomit.
Mm-hmm. Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
Do you know who I am?
Oh, hey, it's Fred Rogers Soundboard.
Fred Rogers calling in.
Fred. Hi, I'm hungry.
Yes, hi.
I'm hungry. What do you have to eat, Fred?
This is Fred Rogers.
Fred, Don was curious as to what you might have for lunch this afternoon.
Snacks or anything?
I was just making some popcorn.
Ain't no popcorn, right?
Yeah.
Is Lady Elaine there?
What would you tell Lady Elaine if you were talking with her right now?
I'd tell this guy on the phone to get some new tapes.
I'd say, Fred, freshen up your act.
No.
Yes, don't be bitter. It's time. We want more Fred, but we want newer Fred.
Joe called and said that there was a man here who had some wonderful horns.
Who's your daddy?
Sure.
Give me an anal quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fred. Yeah. Hey, Fred.
I remember one time some of our neighbors who were studying ballet dancing
got dressed up
to look like raccoons.
See, even Buzz remembers
even Buzz
the
is burning
now.
On it. Yeah.
Even Buzz knows them by heart.
Right.
Bye!
Yeah, like adios. Raccoon.
Now, there's nothing wrong with new, fresh Fred.
Now, we do like Lady Elaine. We like the popcorn. It has its place.
Always keep the popcorn, but let's get some new Fred or anybody.
Yeah, rotate them in, but please remember the popcorn.
Yes.
It's my favorite for some reason.
Lady Elaine's delicious popcorn.
Anal popcorn.
Popped in a place that we'd all like to be.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So,
he's still back there.
All
Right.
Is he back there?
Yep, still there.
Yes, there. I got the raised eyebrows.
He's still there. Yeah.
There he is.
So, maybe you've noticed today that this is the way the show is going to be. We're going to go behind the scenes here for just one moment.
I think regular listeners of the show should know what's going on.
All of our affiliates will be thrilled today
because
effective today, we are running commercials every 20 minutes.
Yes.
Without fail.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to do that from now until I retire in May.
That is the new rule.
Well, that's the email that I got last night.
Yeah. That's the way it goes.
In a nutshell, here's what happened. You know, we all do the show here. It's the Don and Mike show, but it's really my show, and Mike is my best buddy, and we do the show. But then we've got 1,000 other guys. We've got Buzz and John and Rob and two interns and Joe and, Jesus Christ, 1 million people. Well, yesterday, as occasionally happens, and I take accountability for my part, and this is the show.
So do I, as a matter of fact.
The show got away from me, and I realized
we got kind of caught up in a couple of things we were doing.
It got to be about 10 minutes after 6, and I thought we had... It was terribly inside. I thought we had three breaks left.
Three commercial breaks before the end of the show.
Turns out we had 4 commercial breaks left. Now,
after 6 o'clock is a pretty tough spot to be in.
We got 50 minutes of show and 40 minutes of commercials.
Right.
So nobody, I guess, during the show wanted to come and approach me to say we're running incredibly late. So I went back to the, I use the term lightly, producer at about 6:20, and I said, oh, boy, this is a mess. You know, it just... Call them and tell them that we've not screwed up the commercials for like 9 months in a row. You know, just deal with it. And John said, okay, I'll deal with it. Well, here's how he dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
He called Hughes, and he told Hughes that we were going to miss a commercial set because of me. And when Hughes said, well, why didn't you just get him to break? John said, it's because I'm uncontrollable.
Did he sing that like a love song?
Yeah.
Uncontrollable.
Now keep in mind... Let's count the number of times that John came in yesterday and said, why don't we break? That would be none.
Zero.
That would be none.
That is true.
So I was upset when I got home last night, and I get an email from Hughes, and he always, I'll give him credit in this, he goes right to the bastard move as soon as he can.
Was he actually phoning you or emailing you from prison?
He was emailing me while he was driving.
Oh, okay. All right. From serial killer location to serial killer
location. Right. But really, he was he was using his BlackBerry. It said, pardon the rough grammar, but I'm writing while I'm driving.
It's with him at all times, right?
So I get a very nasty email from him that says, you know, you cannot, you know, and again, it's my name on the show. I don't care about it. He's like, you cannot do this. This is a violation of the contract. If you want to be released. And again, I don't know why retiring is like leaving the mafia in this company.
Once they get you in, they never want to get you out.
You know, I still don't have my paperwork from them.
Right.
You know, they're going to retire in May of 08.
That's funny because everything for me has been already taken care of. Yeah, it's all done. It's a done deal.
I know this is the problem. Everybody's got stuff going on behind the scenes.
There are lots of plates spinning.
And what happens is yesterday when John throws me under the bus for this, and to make it clear, I'm willing to take blame. It's just, it's a group effort.
It is a group effort.
If not, if you're not willing to take credit when something gets effed up, don't walk around and beat your chest when something goes right that you really had nothing to do with.
No, it is a team effort. And, you know, that is the gospel as far as you know our superiors are concerned. They want to make sure the commercials get on, and you know, I think you're justified in getting upset because everybody kind of goes into panic mode, and that's unacceptable.
I get an email from Hughes that says, oh yes, and incidentally, this is a violation of your contract, and you know, you got to make sure that all the commercials run on time, and I hate to do this, but now we're going to have to make this move where we insist the commercials be played exactly on time, because otherwise you're screwing with your future, and you know, you're screwing with your retirement, you're screwing with Mike's future.
Right.
So like, I get this email, and I called John 7:30 last night, and I said, what the frick are you doing? I sound like Randy J.
What are you doing?
And he said right away with the sound of his sphincter tightening
on
the phone, I said, you just threw me under the friggin' bus. You didn't mention any of the other, you take no responsibility. He's like, So I got it worked
out. None whatsoever.
I get it worked out with Hughes. Of course, the way the company has always wanted it.
Yeah.
Now that they got us by the balls, is they play the commercials every 20 minutes or else, especially because I'm cutting near the end of the road. So I go, okay. And I work it out with Hughes. And I actually have a conversation with him in which I do not, unlike John, I do not throw John under the bus. I say, I'm responsible for the time on the show, but I've got to be honest that all these other support people do nothing to help out. And he said, well, John said it's because, you know, no one can tell you what to do, right? Because I'm so freaking uncontrollable.
Well, what they should know is that, yes, they can tell you what to do, and you would appreciate it if they would make a big deal of that, because you know what? That is the bottom line here, and that's the way it's got to be.
And with a guy like John, I know I've kidded him and stuff, but in real life, I've never yelled at the guy. I've just tried to help him learn and grow in this position, because like I told him today before we went on the air, you know, I'm thinking about all you guys about what's going to happen after May.
Right.
I mean, what are you going to do? You got to learn how to face the real world and how to deal with things in the radio world. And the reason that John pissed me off so bad was that after I worked everything out with Hughes last night, and Hughes sent me a real nice email saying, you know, sorry we have to be a dick about this, but we're going to be dicks about this. I've talked to John, I've talked to Rob, and they understand that no matter what, you know, it's their job. So, I send a note. John sends me an email this morning that says, I humbly apologize for what happened yesterday. I read that and go, okay. The next line says, I told Hughes it was my fault and I took the bullet.
So, today, now, you got that today?
This morning. So, I write back to John and I write back and I go, wait a minute. You know, don't BS a BSer.
Right.
I know what you did because Hughes would not have reacted that way with me if you had called him up and said, hey, we had a screw-up. It's really ultimately my fault. I'm the producer. We missed a stop set today.
Right.
There would be no reason for Hughes to send me an email threatening me with legal action about our contract.
Yeah, you know, what that is the equivalent of would be, if you're using the bullet analogy, that would be someone shoots somebody. It's a it's a through-and-through wound and lodges in the wall. Then the guy next to him pries the bullet out of the wall, throws the bullet at his chest, it bounces off, and he can still say he took the bullet, too.
So then here's the thing. So I sent him an email that's polite but as sarcastically written as I possibly can. It starts off, Dear John, thank you for your support.
Right.
And that was very sarcastic. It was after that I said, you know, it's funny that you said that you took the hit for this, being as Michael called me last night and lawyers called me, blah, blah, blah. So I get here today, and he's hiding in the back room. And he finally comes in here, and he's got his hands behind his back. I said, what's up with you? And he said, hey, man, I told him it was my fault. And I said, John, don't lie to me. He said, I'm telling you. I said, you know he know. Do you know that he tells me what
That's
you
like
said?
That's like almost the Eddie Murphy bit. You know that I know that you know, right?
Yeah, so I got to say to John, you know that Hughes tells me, you know that Hughes tells me what you told him. And John looks at me like a dog.
Huh?
And I said, when you were talking to him last night about this missed stop set and explaining to him that it's a team effort and that really you're as fault as anyone else, why'd you tell him that I'm impossible to control? I said, did you mention that it's impossible to get me to do anything? He just looks at me, nods, goes, I said, why'd you say that? He goes, because you are impossible to control.
Oh, God.
And it's like at that point, seriously, John, I love you, man, but I'm not impossible to control, dude. It's an act on the radio, and John, you know it in real life. You know it in real life. And what you did yesterday was just throw me out there. I would take the S with everybody on this show.
You know, one of the issues about this show, and speaking of behind the scenes, everything that goes on, I think that any solution to any problem starts with communication. That's the goddamn business we're in. We're in the communications business. And really, that is it. And it's communicating that works, not communicating. And if you're going to play it that way, it's always going to come back and bite you in the ass.
You know, simple enough.
If you're going to play it that way and simply, you know, if that's the perception, it's probably not the best idea to articulate that perception.
And certainly I have yelled at Rob on the air. I've yelled at a lot of people on the air. Now, you got to make the distinction between on the air and off the air. But I swear on my kid's life, I shouldn't have to bring him into this, but it's the God's truth. With John, I've been nothing but supportive, understanding, have given him a million chances, when he comes to me and says he can't do something, he's hit a wall, he doesn't know what needs to be done on the show. You know, if you bring nothing to the show except a slight bit of organizational skill, then your job really is to protect me and Mike, meaning to hit the dumb button if someone says the F word. And for God's sakes, if one time in 9 months we miss a stop set, have the balls to take some accountability for it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and really, that is the important thing you bring up is the first time in 9 months. That is the first time it had happened. And it happened yesterday because we did get caught up in everything that we were doing.
Yeah, and I don't want anybody to think that I am – hold on. Let me find this thing in my mail. Go to – I don't want a new message.
Stop it. What are you doing?
I want to read –
What are you doing?
What I wanted to do was read my response to Hughes to show you that – I mean, I'm not below ass-kissing or admitting – here's what I wrote to Hughes last night when he originally – wrote the threatening email to me, which they ended up following up on, mm-hmm. about the commercials. I wrote, Michael, all I can say, it was a team effort, and it will not happen again. We've been perfect time-wise for 9 months, but an F-up is still just that. I will advise the producers to enlist their help. I am truly sorry for my part in the mess-up. Thank you, Don. That's what I wrote to Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what I expected our donkey jackass producer to do as well, not to go in the back of the room and get in the fetal position and turn all the lights off and call Hughes and say, I can't control Don. I can't get him to break for commercials. You know, that argument might have some validity if one time you did something to indicate that you knew where we were in the show. I'm tired of doing goddamn everything on this show. So now we don't have to worry about it, about taking track of time, because mm-hmm. we must break at approximately 20 and 50 after every hour, no exceptions.
So anybody that's wondering about the change in schedule and why we're doing it this way, that is the reason we're doing it this way.
You know, right. And like, you know, I didn't even get a response from him. I send out an email to John
mm-hmm.
looking for a response. Like one of the emails I sent to him that he, of course, didn't respond to was, you know, congratulations, you've gotten the spontaneity taken out of the show. We have to stick to 20-minute segments. No more long, hour-long segments.
Mm-hmm.
I get nothing back from him.
Right.
And I'm not writing him daggers. I'm not writing him hate letters. I'm not writing expletives. I'm looking for some type of communication. And before you say, well, don't be a pussy through email, well, I did call.
Mm-hmm.
But the cell rang and rang and rang.
Oh, I didn't know you called. That's something I didn't know until this very moment.
Until it went to voicemail.
Ah, okay.
He took my first call when I yelled at him, mm-hmm. and then after that, just didn't take the calls.
Well, I mean, a message to everybody here. You know, we've got a lot going on this little show, and a lot of people know what's going on. And the fact is, it's a good time for everybody to realize that this is a team effort, mm-hmm. and everybody to deal with the facts as they are. That you got two people in here every day trying to put on a radio show, and through communication, hopefully this thing will get better. We can't always have, you know, really, we can't be thrown under the bus like this.
No, but we were.
We can't be thrown up. Right, we were.
Now we can no longer have a segment that runs more than 22 minutes.
Right. And from, you know, from this point forward, I think it's really important for everybody to bite the bullet. You know what? I mean, really, the confrontation, and you know what? There might be a confrontation, but God damn it. Everybody's got to step up and do that. And really, I think it's essential, regardless of what's going on. And as you said before, there is a lot of crap. I wish I could talk about it, but I can't.
Well, I will. I mean.
No, you won't. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm asking you not to.
Okay.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. Well, can I just say this? It would be an easier progression. And this has nothing to do with John. It would certainly be an easier progression with whatever's going to happen next on whatever happens next. If the people at CBS would just get my stuff done.
Absolutely.
Just because
I don't disagree with that at all. Because, you know what, really, that is, I completely agree.
Because the fact that, and I'm not being a prima donna about this, I'm not holding out for money, I want to retire. I want to retire in May of next year because that gives Mike and Buzz and Rob and John and everybody 4 months under contract.
Amen.
To figure out what they're going to do with the rest of their careers, how they're going to mold things, and all that stuff's going on behind the scenes. But the problem is
right.
that CBS, for whatever reason, and many of you would probably look at me the same way, saying, well, First off, you're walking away from a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Then they say, how could you live without being on the radio?
Right.
These are people who just don't know me.
Exactly.
Don't know what I've been through.
Right.
Don't know that I'm ready for a break. And most important, I don't want to F my buddies over.
Exactly.
So how can Mike make plans for the future?
Mm-hmm.
How can Buzz, Rob, anybody make plans
mm-hmm.
when the company is still dancing around going, well, you know, Don, he's crazy. He'll probably want to come back.
And I sure hope that, you know what, I really hope by now that that's not the mindset. But
this ain't a bluff.
But you never know, do you? You never
know. No.
And not knowing is part of the you know, part of the thing that makes it very difficult around here to come in and do a good job each and every day.
And
you know what? I will say this. I will say this to you know, to Buzz and to myself and to Rob, you know, and people that are on the air every day here. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's coming in here. I think it's important for people to realize you do have pros here.
Yeah.
You do have pros, but this is bat S. That, you know, this whole thing.
You don't know behind the scenes. I'm talking about all you cats listening.
Right.
You don't know behind the scenes scrambling going on
right.
here. I mean, behind the scenes, it's like rats trying to get the last piece of cheese.
Exactly.
And I'm really tired of being the mouse that's sitting on the cheese.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And John, thanks, pal. It's 20 after.
This is the Don and Mike Show.